Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
What have you got on the inside of you? Have you got a great big yes? Because that's what we need on the inside of us. To whatever God says, there needs to be a great big yes. So we need to cut out anything that isn't yes. All the negative needs to go. Jesus used an interesting illustration. I'm afraid I'm too ancient to own a pair of jeans with holes in. I believed in buying clothes that were complete. These are my old gardening trousers. I do garden, not with an allotment, but I mow the grass. Hallelujah. But Jesus used an illustration about having an old garment that needed repair. Well, this doesn't have a hole in it, and I'm not going to cut a hole in them. However, I have here a brand new, beautiful Italian shirt that somebody gave me, new and unworn. So just supposing there was a hole, that I was a student at Roffey or something with a hole in my jeans, wouldn't it be neat to say, right, I need to mend that hole, so I'll take this nice new shirt No. It would be a bit of a waste of a shirt, wouldn't it? But not only that, it wouldn't work. Because this is just an old bit of denim. This is a nice new whatever it is. And it wouldn't match. It would not wash well or do anything really to fulfill its purpose. So Jesus said, didn't he, in those words we know well, nobody would think of tearing a patch from a new garment and sewing it into an old one. If he did so, not only would he have ruined the new garment, but the patch would not match the old one. Say the patch would not match. Sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't do anything for you, but it just sounds good. The patch will not match. So, that just verifies for us that God's purpose is not to patch us up. God never intended that we should regard him as the one who is there to patch us up when we need patching up. He came to make us new. And we all know that that means that the old has gone and has been replaced by the new. Amen? Right, that's the visual illustration as it's family service this week. Now I can begin to preach. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 18, God is faithful. This is the truth version, of course. God is faithful in what he says. So our message to you is not yes and no. Jesus Christ, God's Son, about whom Silas, Timothy, and I preached to you, was not yes and no. In him, the truth is revealed as always being yes. No matter how many promises God gives us, they are all affirmed in Christ with a mighty yes. We can say, amen, it shall be so to all that is said through him. And such faithful affirmation gives glory to God. Now, when we read God's word, it's full of promises, both Old Testament and New. So God wants us to have those hearts that are constantly affirming what we read. Yes! And when we hear the word preached, then there needs to be that affirmation within us. Yes! Whenever we hear a promise of God, it's yes! Because we belong to Christ, all the promises of both the Old and the New Covenant are ours. Now, of course, it's possible for us to think that those promises are for the future. And some of the promises are for the future. They tell of what God is going to do when Jesus comes again and so on. But all the promises that relate to what Christ has already said and done are for now. So when we read God's word, we say, yes, that's for me now. That's the value at the back of the study edition of the truth of all these verses in a personalized form. You see, that which we've just read, no matter how many promises God gives to me, they are all affirmed in Christ with a mighty yes. Now, how do you know when you're really walking in faith? Because whenever you read the word, there's that yes inside of you. And it's not a, I think about it, yeah, well, I suppose that's true. No, it's what the word says. It's a mighty yes. You see, how do you get healed? Because when you see what God promises concerning healing, there's a mighty yes, that's mine. It's not just there in the book. It's not just there to think about and to rationalize and to even just to pray about. It's yes, it's mine, yes. And Paul was saying to the Corinthians, this is the way we came and preached to you. We came and preached the gospel to you, and we taught you that it's not a matter of yes and no. Well, I'll accept this, but not that. Or I'll take this, but not that. It's all a mighty yes. So, God is going to heal some people this morning. Now, you see, that's the problem. There was not a mighty yes from everybody. Shall we try it again? God is going to heal some people this morning.
Yes.
But you see, you only said yes because I repeated the whole thing. What God wants, you see, is for us to be in the place where automatically there is that mighty yes. And Jesus says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not just a yes inside us. It's a yes that gets expressed on our lips. Praise God. I didn't know that we were going to hear Elizabeth talk about the prayer gate for leadership this morning. But I was quite interested because it should be this morning, because when I was praying, God said something to me. And you know, sometimes he says things and you realize, well, why are you saying that now, Lord? And just as I was starting praying, it was about, I don't know, I think about two in the morning, something like that. He said to me, Colin, you're a reformer and a revivalist. I thought, well, what's all that about? And he started to talk to me about what it means to be a reformer. And just reminded me that from the earliest days when I was ordained as an Anglican, what I was actually doing was working for reformation in the church. And you look back at the history of the church and there have been a series of reformers. And God said to me, the problem with being a reformer is that you always have opposition. I said, that's why you've experienced opposition throughout your ministry, because you're a reformer. And so many people are part of a church or religious system. Now, you see, if you're a leader that's supported by the system, what are you going to do? You're going to support the system because the system supports you. And I know from my days when I was an Anglican that that was the temptation that so many others that I encountered really were experiencing. They knew the rightness, not just of what I was saying, but of what God was saying and what God was doing at that time to seek to bring reform to his church. But the cost was too great for many of them because the system supported them. And they realized that if they were going to be too bold in what they said and believed, if they took on the system, then the system perhaps would no longer support them. And why was it that a revival happened in that church in Luton in the early 1970s? Because I took on the system. I actually ignored the system. And after things had got started, I ignored the system with the bishop's approval, which was a help. But you see, what I realized was there would be no future for my ministry if I was dependent on the system. My dependence had to be on the Lord, not on the system. And at that time, he was not only causing me to be freer and freer in the spirit, but he was teaching me what it really means to live by dependence on his word. And say, well, if you're living by dependence on the word and the spirit, you don't need a system to support you. So when God called me out of being the vicar of that church and into the traveling ministry, you see, my bishop, who became the archbishop, he was greatly concerned for me and the family, saying, but how are you going to be supported? How's your family going to be supported? Where's your income going to come from? All the rest. But you see, because I wasn't dependent on the system, I could say, no problem. The Lord will provide. Now, that was not just some super spiritual statement. I knew I was in a situation where the whole family would be in poverty unless the Lord did provide. That there was no option to go to the state for any support because I wasn't serving the state, I was serving the Lord. And if you're working for the kingdom, then the kingdom will support you. That's why Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, everything else will actually be added to you. You If you're supported by the kingdom will support you. You working for the kingdom will work for you. Are we getting this? And I'm not just talking in terms of being in ministry, in full-time ministry or anything like that. There's spiritual principles here. If we are seeking first the kingdom of God, then everything, all the riches and resources of the kingdom will be added to us. It's very, very practical. So, you know, Jesus teaches us this spiritual principle that we reap what we sow. And that as we give, so it is given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And of course, that relates not just to money, but to all kinds of things. But the Lord said to me, you see, the reason why you have always encountered so much opposition is because people find their security in the system or in their reason. Hello? And are not prepared to step out in faith and dependence upon me and my word. And I thought, well, where's all this going? Because, you know, I was sort of praying and saying, Lord, what word do you want to bring this morning? And then, you see, he said to me, but I could only have done what I've done in your life because when you read my word, there's a mighty yes on the inside of you. That no matter what it is I say, no matter what situation you're in, what circumstances, what problem arises, whether it's opposition, whether it's attack of sickness or whatever it is, there's a great big yes on the inside of you concerning the truth of my word. Now, I think one of the difficulties for us here in Kingdom Faith, as in other places, is that we know a bit. Some of us know quite a bit, actually, about the Word and about the purposes of God. And we can assent to it and agree with it and know it's right. And yet not necessarily be on that tiptoe of faith where we're actually saying, yes! So, this proposition, God will heal me. Yes? But when? Well, when he wills. Oh, you mean it's not his will now? Well, when I've received a particular revelation of faith, or haven't you already received revelation that he is the Lord who heals? When something happens, well, it's too late then, because you don't need faith for what has already happened. Who needs faith for what has already happened? Are there any believers in the house this morning? So, it's coming to that place where you read it, and inside you there's, yes! Not, yes, well, I agree, or yes, well, one day, but yes! And, of course, it's not dependent upon someone who is able to minister the healing power or grace, but the fact that God has promised. And Jesus Christ is the yes and the amen to every promise of God. So all the problems really are in our thinking, aren't they? Mm-hmm. You can think too much. What I mean is you can believe your thoughts rather than believe the revelation of truth that God gives us in his word. The purpose of reason, the reason why God gave you the mind, is to take the revelation of God's word and translate it into experience by agreeing with it. You see, what Paul is saying is it's not yes and no. It's yes. So does God have a particular timing for things in our lives? Oh, yes, he does. What is that timing? When on the inside of you there's a yes! You know, one of the things I've seen is amazing miracles all the way through my ministry. And you go to these meetings, you've got thousands of people there, and or hundreds sometimes, and you know, you see people getting out of wheelchairs, you see this, that, and the other, all the kind of thing that people think is wonderful. And it is. But then every healing is wonderful. Because every healing is a work of God's mercy and grace. And you think to yourself, well, now, wait a minute. These people have been prayed for X number of times before they ever came to this meeting. They've had hands laid on them till they're going bald. They've rebuked the devil. They've done everything possible. Why on this occasion has the healing happened? And it's because through the preaching of the word, there's been a great yes on the inside of them. And if it's been the kind of meeting where I've prayed for people, the yes on the inside of them lines up with the yes on the inside of me. And if any two agree concerning anything, it's done by my Father in heaven. It's not just agreeing that it's possible or agreeing that we want it to happen. You know, the students always love all the words, the stories of testimonies that I slip into the lectures. I don't get many opportunities to. Mark can remember a lot of them. But one of them I like is the guy who came in his wheelchair with his shoes on his lap. You know, and I went to pray for him, and there I saw his shoes. And I said, why have you brought your shoes with me? And he said, before I came to the meeting tonight, God told me to take my shoes because I'd walk home. I said, have you been a Christian for some time? Yes. Have you been praying for your healing for some time? Yes. Have other people prayed for you? Yes, or many, many times. They've laid hands on me. They've tried to get me out of this chair. They've tried to do all kinds of things. So I said, but today you're going to walk home. He said, yes. So I just said, Lord Jesus, I thank you that in your name this brother is healed. He got up, put his shoes on, walked home. What had happened? Before the meeting, there was a yes. For years, he'd known it was possible. He might even have said, I believe that one day God was going to do it. But just as he was praying and reading the word before he came that night, there was this yes. So he knew. Mind you, he still had to obey and bring his shoes. And he still had to have them there in sight. I mean, that was an act of faith. Do you remember when the man was let down through the roof? It says Jesus saw their faith. I think Jesus was looking from heaven and seeing that pair of shoes. So he believes what I've said to him. He believes the promise I've given him that today he will walk home because he believes that I am the yes to everything that I promise. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like everybody to get healed on every occasion. I've been at meetings where I believe every sick person who was present was healed simply because of the power of what God was doing on that occasion. Just as I've known times when every unsaved person in the room has got healed, has got saved. Well, saved and healed, the same thing, aren't they? Same word in Greek, yes? Okay. So, it's wonderful when you sense the move of the Spirit of God like that. But, you know, God has been speaking to me these last few weeks, really, about the fact that he wants to see more visible healing. I mean, we get lots of testimonies of healings, and we have the yellow cards, orange cards, whatever they are, that testifies to what God has done. But I believe God wants us to be able to see him work. I believe he wants us to see things happening here on a Sunday. But I believe the reason for that is not just so that we can have more powerful meetings, but so that we can then be encouraged in our faith to believe that as we go, we are all going to see things happening. That what God wants to do when we come together is to release something in us that we can then release out there in the world. And if we see that it works here, then we can believe that it will work there because the same Lord is there as is here. He is always with us. He is always within us. Amen. I'll tell you another testimony just to show you what I mean. Some of you have heard this before if you're students. Because I can't invent things, I have to tell the things that I've actually seen. There was an occasion when I was to preach at a series of services in celebration of a particular anniversary that it happened to be a Baptist church was having somewhere in the north part of London. They were having this sort of special day. And there were three services, morning, afternoon, evening. And I'd preached at the morning service and was taken to the home of one of the deacons for lunch. And during the course of the lunch, he started to tell me about this woman called Mary. He didn't tell me all about it, let me tell you, but he said that she was seriously ill. She had a very rare, some very rare disease that had affected her spine and the whole of her nervous system. What was actually happening is her whole body was actually freezing up and that there was no medical cure. And what he didn't tell me is that she'd only been given a short time to live. But anyway, I could tell that what this guy was working round to was, you know, would you come and pray for her? And so, in due course, he sort of finished telling me, and I said to him, I suppose you want me to come and pray for her. And he said, oh, yes, that would be wonderful. So I said to him, well, has your Baptist church been praying for her during the 6 months that she's been in? Oh, yes, we've been very faithful in praying. We've been praying for her every day. So it doesn't seem to have done much good, does it? And he looked at me. So I said, there's not much point in me coming and praying for her. But what I will do is I'll come and heal her in the name of Jesus. Now, he visibly brightened at that. So I duly go, and round Mary's bedside, there's a group of people from the church. It was a set-up job, obviously. And we only had literally between 5 and 10 minutes before I had to go and speak at the afternoon meeting. So I say to this lady, Mary, if I was to pray for you now, what would God do? And she said, well, I hope he would heal me. Now, when you're in ministry, that is the very thing you never want to hear. Because you know that there isn't faith. There's only hope that sometime in the future something might happen. But faith is for now. Hope is for the future. Faith is for now. So we only had a few minutes. So I opened up the scriptures to her, and I just held my Bible under her nose and said, look, read this and read this. And I probably went to Isaiah 53. I don't know, this was some years ago now. So after about 2 minutes, because that's all we had, I said to her, now, in the light of these scriptures, and I, of course, while I was speaking, I was praying for her. I was saying, Holy Spirit, just witness faith to her heart now. So after these 2 minutes, I said, now, in the light of these scriptures, if I pray, what will God do? He will heal me. Now, what had happened? You see, faith comes from hearing the word. So from hope, she had come to faith, so that now inside her there was a... So I duly just rebuked this disease and did whatever I did and said to her, now, what has Jesus Christ done for you? Let me tell you, there were no angels floating around the room, no choir singing and to say something great and mighty had happened. She just said, God has healed me. And I will be in the church in the meeting tonight. Wait a minute, she hadn't been able to out and walk for 6 months. So one of the brothers there, thinking that he would be helpful, said, well, I'll pick you up and drive you. She said, no, I will walk. And the building was about a mile away. Now, you see, something had happened. Faith, from unbelief to faith. But that's not really the end of the story. I mean, at the evening service, the service had only been going on for about 5 minutes when this voice cried out from the back, thank you, Jesus, for healing me! And there was Mary. She couldn't keep quiet. I mean, she interrupted the service. And everybody burst out. Of course, they'd all been praying for her, you see. But typical woman. After the service, she was complaining. She'd been sick for 6 months, so none of her clothes fitted. Everything looked like a sack on her, you know, because she'd lost so much weight. But praise God. A few weeks later, I think about 3 or 4 weeks, if I remember rightly, she'd just been having her prayer time at home, having got her children off to school, when she felt it important to pray for her 14-year-old daughter, who was born almost completely deaf in both ears, had to wear hearing aids in both ears. She just felt it's urgent. You must pray for her. So she prayed and believed that whatever the need was at that moment, God had met the need, and waited for her daughter to come home. So she thought, well, I'm not going to say anything to her. I'll wait for her to say something to me about whatever happened. After a little while, the daughter came into the kitchen and said, Mama, a very strange thing happened to me this morning. I went completely deaf and could not hear anything, even though I had my hearing aids. And so Mary said, well, what time was that? And of course it was at exactly the time when the Spirit of God had told her to pray for her. She said, but then something strange happened. After a little while, my hearing came back, but it's been very fuzzy ever since. And Mary thought, well, that can't be right. But then she realized she still had her hearing aids in. So she said, well, take your hearing aids out. And of course, she could hear perfectly. Now, you see, what happened was a yes on the inside of Mary for her healing had become a yes for whenever she prayed for anybody else. A little while later, her husband was healed when she prayed for him of an ulcer and he could enjoy his chips again. But a whole healing ministry developed around that lady in that church. People began to hear and to come from all around for her to pray for them. You see, the yes inside her for herself became a yes for many other people. And I met her subsequently when I was in that area and just heard of some of the great, wonderful things that God had been doing through her ministry. And she told me of the persecution that went with it. Why, you bring reformation, in her case it was into a Baptist church, and that's right in the face of some people who believe that the miracles are not for today, but for yesterday. So you inevitably get the opposition. Wherever there is faith, there is always opposition. But praise God, we persevere with faith. If there was more time, but we need to pray, so I'm going to finish in a moment. We will go on to see that a little later in that letter, the second letter to Corinthians, Paul says, but thanks be to God, for he always leads us in his triumphant procession because we are in Christ, and he uses us everywhere we go to spread the truth about him. For we are to God like the perfume of Christ among those who are being saved, the sweet fragrance of his life. Why is that? It's because there's a great big yes on the inside of us. And so wherever there is that yes, we can be that sweet fragrance. We can sow, we can spread, we can plant, we can impart that which is positive. And you see, I want you just to learn from this thing with Mary. There's a big difference between praying for somebody and imparting to them. You see, that church had been praying for her. They were Bible-believing people. They'd been praying for her, all of them, for 6 months. But it just needed somebody to go and impart to her. Are you there? And God isn't calling you to pray for the sick. His command is to heal the sick. So his command is for you to impart. And if there's a great big yes on the inside of you, you know that it's nothing to do with feelings or, you know, whether you're having a good day or not. Listen, it's nothing to do with how holy your walk or how close you feel to the Lord at any time. Do you remember when Peter and John healed the cripple and they created a whole lot of controversy? But one of the things they said it is not by our own holiness or godliness that this has happened. It's got nothing to do with that. It's in the name of Jesus and the faith that comes through him that this man has been healed, as you can all see. You see, if you look at yourself and your sort of spiritual walk, then you're saying what God does in others depends upon me rather than depends upon him. But it all depends upon him. 100% is upon him. I mean, sometimes, you know, you see God use somebody to do something wonderful, mighty, miracle in somebody's life, and you know that the person he's used is in a mess. There's all kinds of issues and problems going on in that person's life. And you think, how could God use someone like that? Because it's not dependent upon him.
That's it.
Despite all his weakness, failures, whatever issues he was working through, he happened to trust God. Yes. He said, well, it's all down to faith in the name of Jesus. Because if God waited to get us into a state where we were worthy to be used, nothing would happen. And if you think that you have got to progress spiritually towards some exalted point before God would use you, then you have got a doctrine of self rather than a doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
I mean, I've seen great miracles through people that have just been saved. Just say they don't know anything. They don't even know how to pray for somebody properly. They've just been saved. They say, go and pray for that person. They pray for that person and they're healed. Why? Well, they've just met with Jesus. And when you meet with Jesus, you realize, well, nothing's impossible for Jesus. He can even use a nutcase like me. Because Jesus is so much greater than I am. While you look at yourself, you'll find all kinds of reasons why God should not use you. And most of them, absolutely valid. That if God decided who he would use according to what was going on in them, then he would hardly have anybody to use. But God works according to what is going on in him, not what is going on in us.
Yes, amen.
And again, if we were to read through this 2 Corinthians, the opening chapters of 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about God being a God of mercy and compassion. It's all down to him and who he is. So you see, we can have a great yes. Even if I say to you, you know, God wants to use you this week, there can be a great yes.
Come on.
Well, if it's his will. No, it's his will. Why do you think he's given me this message this morning?
Right. Come on.
Is it only for a few who are here, or is it for all who are here?
Come on.
I mean, there are hundreds of people that are going to go and work miracles this week because they were here this morning. And I believe God is saying he's going to unlock situations. You know, while you've been praying about something for a long time, praying for somebody for a long time, praying about the issues in their life for a long time, and you realize, well, wait a minute, it's time to quit the prayer and start the impartation. The prayer is important to come to the point of impartation.
Amen. Come on. Right.
Hallelujah. I'm very thankful for Elizabeth's prayer ministry, because for many, many years now, she has been praying personally for me. She felt a particular call from God to do that, to support my apostolic ministry in prayer. And this wouldn't be normally public knowledge, but whenever God told her that He wanted to do a new thing in my life and ministry, she would have a 40-day fast on my behalf. And I don't know how many, but she's had several over the years of those 40-day fasts. Now that's commitment, isn't it?
Amen.
To prayer, that's love, that's faithfulness to God. But it's also, you see, a recognition of how God wants to keep doing more in us and through us. And yes, it's great if you're in leadership to have support like that, because you do have a lot of opposition and so on. And I've always felt that Elizabeth was there guarding my back, being like a somebody praying on the watch to guard me from all kinds of things that could happen. Just the other day, I won't even tell you what happened, but just the other day, I had the most violent attack as I was walking along a road that I've ever experienced. The devil, I'm convinced the devil just wanted to kill me. But of course, as soon as I took authority in the name of Jesus and pleaded the blood, the whole thing evaporated. But it was like a demonic. Caroline was there walking with me, walking alongside me. She felt nothing. I was just absolutely slammed suddenly. So we don't worry about opposition. Because we are in the one who keeps us safe. And we're part of this family of faith. We're part of this family of prayer. We're loving, encouraging, supporting one another all the time. So isn't it great? All these testimonies that we're going... I mean, a stack of orange cards next week?
Right. Yes. Come on.
Yes? Why not? Because, I mean, you know, we get so many yellow cards every week, but there's all the other things that people haven't bothered to write an orange card for, aren't there? There's only a few people that write down. God has done infinitely more than what we hear about. But this is going to be a power-filled week. Is that all right? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Right now, the old is gone. Come on, let's throw out all the old thinking. I'm serious. Don't say, oh well, I mean, how do you do that? We're gonna have renewed minds. Now. Right? Because the Word of God says, let your minds be renewed. Okay, so we're gonna have renewed minds. The old thinking goes. Come on, kick it out now. And just say, Lord, forgive me for all the prevarication, for all the doubt, for all the hesitation, for all that I sort of know, but I haven't applied. Lord, just forgive me when I believe my thoughts, I believe the circumstances, I believe the reason rather than believe the promises that you have given. Forgive me, Lord, when I've got my eyes off of the promises and onto the circumstances. And I thank you, Lord, that You are the great and high and holy one. You are the one who is above all others. For you, nothing is impossible. And you are faithful to every word that you have spoken. And you watch over your word to perform it. It will not return to you empty, but will accomplish that for which it is sent. And we thank you, Lord, that today the word that you have spoken to us is going to accomplish that for which it is sent. And we are going to see great and mighty and wonderful miracles of impartation in the name of Jesus and through the faith that comes from him. Hallelujah. Oh, come and lift your hands to the Lord and praise him. Just thank him. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I believe that there's a number of people, you've got a great big yes on the inside of you concerning a need in your life. The need has perhaps persisted for a time. You've prayed about it. You've perhaps had others pray for you as well. But there's never been this sort of yes inside of you. Now, if that yes is inside of you, I want you to come and stand in the front here because God is going to impart to you the answer to that yes. I don't want you to come just because you have a need, but because you've got that witness. There's that yes, this is it. You're like the guy that came to the meeting in his wheelchair with his shoes on his lap. You're saying, yeah, I'm going to go away healed. I'm going to go away with this need met. There's a great big yes on the inside of me this morning. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, your need may be healing, it may be something else, but whatever it is, Jesus is the promise. You see, the promise is not just words. The promise is Jesus himself. Amen. And he is the faithful one. So right now, before we pray together, just thank him for his promises. Thank him for his faithfulness. He may have given you specific promises about your situation. And those promises you've always related to sometime in the future, but this morning you have that witness, it's now. Hallelujah. I mean, you've just got that sense so much so that it's hardly necessary for anybody to pray for you, but we're going to just agree together. Hallelujah. And the power of God is going to come upon you. Hallelujah. He is going to work in you exactly what is needed to meet that need. Praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the rest of you guys, you just be praying for these folks. You be agreeing with them. That this is their hour, this is their time, this is the moment. Because they've got that witness. Yes! Inside them. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.